today, we'll talk about three things I'm really into. That's coming up on this episode 148 of WDW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert from WDWPrepSchool.com. Thank you for being here for episode 148. So we have been working away recently on things. We're always updating stuff on the website, publishing new content, and a few things have kind of popped out at me as things that I really am more into now than I ever thought I would be. And so I wanted to share those with you today. As usual, I want to remind you to follow on social media because that's how we connect. I'm very active on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can also sign up on the email list because I send out emails usually every Friday and I give information like news and tidbits of things that happen that week, plus usually have a new piece of content that we have published. And you can do that on the website, wwprepschool.com. So those are ways that we can stay in touch outside of this one-way channel right here. So before I dive into the three things I'm really into right now, I just want to say up front that these are totally optional. You don't feel like you have to do these for your trip because I think a lot of these are just add-ons that are nice if you have the budget. If you have extra money and you're looking for ways to spend it, these are things that I think make a lot of sense nowadays. And so that's where I'm coming from. But if you don't have the budget and you are maxed out, you can still have a great trip. So let's talk about the first thing, which is dessert parties. And let me give you a quick overview of what these are. Dessert parties are parties that take place in the parks, specifically at Magic Kingdom and Epcot and Hollywood Studios. And basically, you about an hour or so beforehand, before the nighttime show, you go and check in and you have desserts and then you have a viewing area for whatever the nighttime show is. Now, there is one at Hollywood Studios for the Star Wars Galactic Spectacular. There is one at Epcot. Epcot has had an Illuminations sparkling dessert party for a while, but in July, it changes over to a Frozen Ever After Illuminations dessert party. And then Magic Kingdom has it for their fireworks, and there's two different versions of theirs. Both of them check into the Tomorrowland Terrace restaurant for desserts, but the Garden View one is people that are taken out to go view from the garden area a little bit closer to the castle. And the other one is the Tomorrowland Terrace, the sort of regular one, and you stay in Tomorrowland Terrace to view the fireworks from there. So three different parks have them for three different nighttime shows. They are not cheap. I want to give you a little comparison to show you where I'm coming from looking at the expense of this. In 2011, I believe it is, our family of four did Magic Kingdom dessert party, and I think it was $23 per adult. And at the time, we thought it was a fantastic deal. So for our family of four, roughly $100. And we really loved the experience. And there was also a photo pass photographer stationed there so we could get some family pictures with the castle in the background. And we just really loved it. However, the parties sell out. So Disney, of course, it's business 101. They have raised the prices of the dessert parties over the year, and they have more than tripled. So the Magic Kingdom dessert parties, I told you there are two different versions. The one at Tomorrowland Terrace is $79 for adults. The Plaza Garden Viewing one is $59. The one at Epcot is $79 for adults as well. And the one at Hollywood Studios is $69 for adults. So they're not cheap. So if you have, family of four, let's say, we are talking hundreds of dollars to do these. However, I didn't used to think that dollar amount was worth it, but I, for various reasons, think that is a lot more worth it than it used to be. The nighttime shows have changed a bit. There used to be a lot easier to get spots to watch. For instance, the old Star Wars fireworks at Hollywood Studios, you could easily watch those from the front of the park. And the old fireworks at Magic Kingdom Wishes, you could watch that from lots of places. But the nighttime shows have changed to where the ideal viewing, and really to catch all the elements of the show, it requires you to be much, much closer, and it really reduces the the space where people can be to watch the show. And the dessert parties happen to have viewing in those spots. So they're a good deal. So for that reason, I think they're much, much more worth it. My personal two favorites are my top favorite is the Star Wars one at Hollywood Studios, because I think the desserts are delicious. It does include alcohol. If you go to Magic Kingdom, there's no alcohol, which could be a factor if you drink alcohol. The drinks are included in the price, and they're really strong and really delicious. The theming is fun because it's Star Wars. And then the viewing spot is perfect. They lead you out from the party area to the viewing area, and it's perfect. So I happen to love that one. Another one that has emerged as a favorite recently is the Garden View dessert party, which you may have heard me talk about on my last trip, because the new Happily Ever After fireworks, you kind of have to be close to view with all the projections. And the Garden View one, which is the less expensive of the Magic Kingdom parties, is perfect viewing area. And it's a lot less hectic than if you are trying to get a good spot. And you kind of have to do that about 45 minutes ahead of time or so. So I just find it a lot more laid back. The desserts at Magic Kingdom aren't as great as the ones at Hollywood Studios, in my opinion, but the viewing is ideal. The one at Epcot, I hope to try on my next trip. It doesn't begin until July. It's new. So I'll try it and let you know what I think about that. But I can tell you right now that Illuminations is very, very easy to see from all over the World Showcase. So it's definitely not going to provide you an exclusive view of the show, because it's just too easy to catch it. But it does include a ride in Frozen Ever After. So you go to the party and you have the desserts and the drinks. And by the way, now there's going to be tables and chairs. There didn't used to be at Epcot. And then afterwards, everybody gets to go on Frozen Ever After. So for some people, that is going to be worth it, because that's a difficult one to get to do. As kind of a side note, D23 Expo is coming up in July. I leave for that trip on July 13th. And what we expect to hear at D23 Expo are a lot of announcements about the parks, in particular Epcot. And one of those could be that Illuminations may be replaced by something else. But until then, my feeling is that you don't really need an exclusive view at a party to see Illuminations. However, the Frozen Ever After ride might be worth it for a lot of people. So we'll just have to see. I want to try that out within the next couple of months. So that is the first thing that I am obsessed with, is the dessert parties. And I have a graphic, of course, because this helps me organize my thoughts and to show you how to compare the parties. I'll put that in the show notes, the graphic that compares them all, so you can kind of see what's included and see if any of those make sense for your family. As an alternative, if you don't want to attend a dessert party, you can just grab a snack nearby and find a spot, but you will have to show up, you know, pretty far ahead of time, just to make sure you get the ideal view of the shows, especially at Magic Kingdom and Hollywood Studios. So that's the first thing. The second thing on my list is dining packages for people who are on the dining plan in particular. Now, let's talk about the dining packages and what they are first. These dining packages allow you to make a reservation at a restaurant. If you book the dining package, you eat at a restaurant, and then you also get viewing for a show. These are available at Hollywood Studios for Fantasmic, and currently for Music of Pixar Live, which may just be a summer show. And then at Animal Kingdom, you can do it for Rivers of Light. And Epcot has them, but just seasonally. So for instance, in December, there's Candlelight Processional dining packages, which allow you to eat and get seating for Candlelight Processional in the beginning of the year when they have Festival of the Arts, which was a new festival this year, but it's coming back in 2018. You get to eat at a restaurant and then have seating for whatever Broadway performer happens to be there. They also have Eat to the Beat dining packages during the Food and Wine Festival. So Epcot has them just kind of tied to whatever festival or event it happens to be going on at that time. Now, if you're on the dining plan, it costs the same number of credits to book this dining package as it does if you were just to make a regular dining reservation there. However, you get not only viewing for a show, but you get an appetizer if you eat at a non-buffet restaurant. So let's say, for instance, that you wanted to do the Mama Melrose Fantasmic Dining Package at Hollywood Studios. Mama Melrose is not a buffet. If you make a regular Mama Melrose dining reservation and you're on the dining plan, it'll cost you one credit. You'll get an entree and dessert. If you make a Mama Melrose Fantasmic Package, it will cost you one credit. You'll get an appetizer, entree, dessert, and a voucher to go see Fantasmic. So you see how that's a better value. Even if you don't want to go to the show, you could gift your vouchers to somebody else if you want, but it's a better deal if you're eating at a non-buffet. So that is a tip I have for people that are on the dining plan. If you're not on the dining plan, it's a little different because everything's out of pocket, a la carte. But if you're on the dining plan, it's a no-brainer. And I think that if you are eating at a restaurant that has dining packages, it almost always makes sense to book it as a dining package instead of just the regular restaurant, just because you get more food for the same amount of money. And just as sort of a side note, people are often confused about this. You cannot book, for instance, Mama Melrose reservation and then convert it to a dining package. They're totally separate. You have to go to the dining package page on the Disney World website, select the restaurant that you want to eat at and book that. It's totally separate from a regular dining reservation. You need to book it as a dining package. So I would highly suggest that. And even if you don't want to go to the show, I suggest that you make extra magic for somebody else and give them your voucher. But it makes a lot of sense to do that if you are trying to maximize your credits. The third thing that I am really into right now, and this won't be a huge surprise to you if you have listened to my trip reports. I've been on 3 Disney World trips this year, and I've done the podcast trip reports about all of them. But my third thing is express transportation for people who plan to park hop. Now, express transportation, when it first came out, I rolled my eyes because I couldn't believe that Disney was offering this. And then I did it, and I got hooked because it's really, really convenient for not that much money. What it is buses that take you between the parks and you get to skip security. So if, for instance, if I wanted to go from Magic Kingdom to Hollywood Studios, I would go to the special desk set up at Magic Kingdom, happens to be located near Buzz Lightyear. And I would ask them, when is your next bus to Hollywood Studios? They would tell me the schedule. It is on a very set, strict schedule. And then I would make sure to be there and I would go to Hollywood Studios and it would drop me off. And it's like a behind the scenes kind of place, not the front gate. You don't have to go through security again. So it's really, really convenient if you plan to park hop. And it is my personal favorite way to spend a last day at Disney World, because then you can go through all the parks, sampling food, riding a couple rides, doing things that you wanted to do more of or didn't get to do the rest of your trip or whatever. It's $19 if you want to do it for one day, but it's only $29 for up to 7 days. So my routine now is going to be, when I arrive at a Disney World resort, I'm going to just add it at check-in to my Magic Band, and then I can use it anytime during my trip. It isn't that much money to feel like a VIP guest. If you are not staying on site, or even if you are, you can also add it to your Magic Band or your ticket at guest relations at the parks or at the express transportation locations where they pick up and drop off in the parks. So it's just a really cheap way to feel like a VIP. And I highly recommend it for people that happen to have park hopper tickets or any kind of ticket that allows you to go between the parks. So I hope that information has been helpful to you. So I wanted to, just since we were talking about dessert parties, before we get into the quick tip, I want to let you know that I am having a dessert party, a private dessert party at Epcot January 27, 2018. And that will take place on the lower terrace in the France Pavilion. The price will be $80 for adults, $50 for children ages 3 to 17. It will have a great dessert menu, including churro flambé. And some alcohol will be included as well. And I'll be there and a lot of my friends and lots of people will be there. And I've always wanted to have a party on the terrace, because every time I walk by and it's blocked off, I always assume that they were weddings taking place, but they're not. Anybody can book it. And obviously, because I'm going to have a party there. And so it just feels really special to be able to reserve the terrace in France to be able to eat desserts, have drinks, and then watch illuminations. It's a great spot to watch illuminations. So if you would like to do that, you can check out the website starting on Friday, June 30th, and I'll have information published there. I also will be sending out information about how to book it on the email list on Friday, June 30th. So that is something to look forward to. We will also have a room block available during that time. And that allows people to book discounted rates that we have arranged in our group block. And those rooms are at Pop Century and at Port Orleans Riverside, the regular and Royal Rooms and Beach Club. And so you can book those. Plus, there will be discounted park tickets available. So people that book the party tickets will automatically get information about how to get those discounted rooms and theme park tickets. So that's something to look forward to. And I'm so excited about that. It's really fun to be able to brainstorm, like, oh, what do we want to do at Disney World? That's so fun. The last time we had a breakfast at Epcot that included some characters and lots of good breakfast foods and gave out lots of gifts. So that was fun too. But this is something different that I can't wait to do next year. So before we wrap up, I do have a quick tip that was emailed from Lori, who lives in Wisconsin. And she says, I was trying to book an early morning reservation for three people at Garden Grill, and I wasn't happy with the times available. I increased the number of guests from 3 to 5 and did the search again and found out that more times opened up. I booked the breakfast for 5, then I went back in the reservation later to edit it back to 3 guests. So my tip is, if you aren't finding the restaurant availability you want, try increasing the number of guests and more reservations may appear. And this is a great tip from Lori and something that I have heard lots of people doing recently. So, I highly recommend trying that because the dining reservation system has been really finicky lately. Availability has looked very limited. And so sometimes quirky things like the number of people in your party can make a difference as you are searching for availability. My other tip to add on to this is that when you're searching for dining reservations, to specify a time and not a meal. So if you put breakfast in and hit search, it's going to give you fewer reservations than if you put in a time. So if you wanted, like, for instance, a 9 a.m. reservation, you have a better chance of finding it if you put in 9 a.m. than if you put in breakfast, which may not show it for whatever reason. So anyway, I would also specify a time in addition to trying to adjust the number of people in your party as Lori suggested. So I hope that information has been helpful to you. You'll find links and different things in the show notes from what we have talked about today. And I think that will wrap up this episode. For more information on the show, you can head to the website and click the podcast link at the top or check the show notes in your podcasting app. Until next time, I will see you on the site.